We continue the shiur in Sichos Haran, Seif Kuf Tzadik Ches, paragraph 198. We know from Rabbeinu Zal's writings, Rabbeinu Zal wrote a few svarim, and one of the outstanding svarim that was ever revealed to this world is Rabbeinu Zal's Sipuri Maisias, where we see the fact that it is possible to have stories. Stories would seem to be something very simple, elementary for children. And yet these stories are on such a level that it is higher than any of the regular writings of the Torah. It's above all the other writings, like Kabbalah is above regular study of Torah, so too do these stories contain all the hidden secrets of Kabbalah. And as Rabbeinu Zal himself said, that the story of the Zion Betler is one that only Mashiach will eventually reveal an interpretation of. And I'll say that there was once a story that was told before the first Beis HaMikdash was built. That was the era of the Nevi'im, the prophets. Prophets were ones that Hashem spoke to when they brought the message to the Jews. That was an era of tzaddikim who were higher than the later generations. We had the rabbis of the Gemara who did not have the power of nevuah, of prophecy. They were on a higher level. It's difficult to describe, to appraise the height, the greatness of these individuals, these nevi'im. Ben Adol said there was one story that at that time was told, and this story, even the prophets, the Nevi'im did not understand, did not know the secret of this story, the secret depth of this story. Only two people alive understood that story. One was the Navi who told the story. The other was the person to whom he told the story. Those were the only two that understood that story, and of course the story was an unusual chiddush, something very unusual. Although it was told, it was revealed, yet it was an unusual chiddush. And now Rabbeinu Zal said, I have that story, but with all the additions that were added to it through the generations, there's a different way to tell the story now. And not only that, but this story also explains a kasha, a question, which could not be answered otherwise. Kasha is, why are the Jews not the top nation in the world, even in this world? A lot of simple answers, that this world is for Esau, for the Goyim, Olam Haba is for the Jews. Fact is, though, that still, if a diamond is a diamond, it's better than glass. And since the Jews are gems, the Goyim are synthetic, they're imitations, they are dirt, they are evil, so why shouldn't the Jews be considered valuable, priceless in comparison to the Goyim? Simple question, yet there is no solid, concrete answer to it, except that this story revealed the answer to that question. In addition, Rabbeinu Zal said some people might think that this is the 12th story of the Sipuri Maisis, the story of the Baal Tefillah. It's a long story which deals with the topic of money. Rabbeinu Zal said this is not the story of the Baal Tefillah, it's a much higher story, a story of a much higher Madrega. However, the Rabbeinu Zal said that as thirsty as they were to hear this story, much as they thirsted for it, craved hearing of it, it did not come to pass that Rabbeinu Zal should reveal the story to them. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ashrei to the one who will be zecher to hear this story in the future. When Mashiach comes, this story will be told by Rabbeinu Zal. Or Gan Eden, the person coming to Gan Eden, if he's zecher to be mekudav, mekusha to Rabbeinu Zal, Zechat to go to Rabbeinu Zal's yeshiva, we'll hear the story then. What a heavenly type of blissful pleasure that would be to hear this story from Rabbi Nachman. This is something for the future. We were not zecha to get it in this world, though we were zecha to get stories that obviously were so great, they are unparalleled, unmatched in the Seidus of Kabbalah. As we said, the story of the Zion Bettlers is so high that Mashiach will eventually reveal the secrets behind it. However, what we do notice, what we must stop and really take to heart at this point, is the fact that when speaking about Rabbeinu Zal's greatness, we try to compare Rabbeinu Zal to tzaddikim in his generation, past generation. He goes so far back as the generation of the rabbis of the Gemara, the Midoyim, to the Tanoim. Here we see, going still further back, generation of the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im themselves did not know this story, except for two that did. Two that knew the story in a lesser developed form. Rabbeinu Zal had this story complete, advanced form. Imagine then, try to imagine, something we cannot, try to conceive the greatness of Rabbeinu Zal's Kedusha. When we say Rabbeinu Zal is the Tzaddik Emes, that is absolute, unquestionable, irrefutable fact. Rabbeinu Zal is the Tzaddik Emes, Ashrei to that person who was really Mekusha, because a story of this kind, which Nevi'im couldn't get then, those Mekusha to Rabbeinu Zal, the Moshe Zal says, will get this story from Rabbeinu Zal. We should be zecha to that true Hiskashus. Zecha to that word that Moshe Zal says, Ashrei. Rabbeinu Zal spoke about his Sefer Likutei Maran, which is the Sefer of Rabbeinu Zal. And speaking about the greatness of the Sefer, not Chas V'Shalom lauding, praising his own works, just speaking factually about the depth of the Sefer. It's important a person should know the value of this Sefer. Rabbeinu Zal said this Sefer, it would seem that any person could learn this Sefer in a superficial form. Just above the surface, some who are lumdim, who have a sharper mind, could go deeper into the Sefer. Some would delve still deeper, would look for the Seidus. Benel said that a person cannot understand the Sefer, the Likutei Maran. The only one that could understand it is he who knows how to say it, not how to learn it, but how to teach the Sefer, to give a shiur in it, to read, to say the Sefer forwards and backwards. One who could say the Qur'an forwards and backwards, he is one that understands the Sefer. To say it forwards and backwards. It's a difficult point. Person says Ashrei backwards, good, he knows the Ashrei by heart. What is the benefit of reading Ashrei backwards? Or saying the Qur'an backwards? Wouldn't we say that there is, you can learn the Sefer backwards, take the sentence and read it from the end to the beginning? What is the gain, the benefit of knowing the Sefer backwards? These are the words of Rabbeinu Zal. One who knows the Sefer forwards and backwards, that person understands the Sefer. Also, a second statement that Rabbeinu Zal said, that every Sefer has a preface, Akdama, explaining. This is the Hakdama to the Sefer, the preface, giving us an insight to the Sefer, and then we go into the whole Sefer. Rabbeinu Zal said, my whole Sefer, the holy Likutei Maran, is Hakdamas. It's not a Sefer, it's just a preface. To what? It's a preface, Hakdama. It's filled with Hakdamas. Third, Rabbeinu Zal said, that with every chapter, with every Torah in the Likutei Maran, with every saying, there are some sayings, a few lines to some of the chapters of the Qur'an. Every Torah, with every saying, regardless of the length of the Torah, which means even the shortest, the one-line Torah too, a person who could perceive deeply, could delve deeply, could see in every chapter, in every paragraph, he could see the whole Torah. He'll find the whole Torah hidden in that chapter. What whole Torah? The whole Torah should be Ksav. Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, and the entire Torah Shabbat Peh. Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, and so forth. And of course, the entire Kabbalah. So deep is this Sefer that every chapter you'll have in it encompassed all of the Torah Shabbat Ksav and Torah Shabbat Peh. These three statements bear a little unlike first place. There are many interpretations, explanations of what the Ben Ezra meant when he said a person must know how to say the Kutmanam forwards and backwards. One thing, very simply, it means, the Ben Ezra himself explained once, that in a Torah you have many different parts, segments. Each Torah has a number of paragraphs, one following the other. Now, a person, in order to understand the Ben Ezra's words, must see the connection between each paragraph. Sometimes you find that one paragraph seems not to relate to the one before it, or to that one which is three paragraphs before it. A person like that does not understand the words of the Ben Ezra. One that understands it is one that can understand, that can show the connection, relation between each paragraph. For example, if a Torah has five paragraphs, he must be able to show how the second paragraph is directly connected, continuation of the first. How the third paragraph is a continuation of the second, and how it is also related to the first, and how it is also related to the combination of the first and the second. The fourth paragraph, he must show how it continues from the third, how it's related directly to the second, also to the first, also to the combination of the second and third, the first and second, the first and third, and the first, second, and third. You must show how the entire Torah is completely interwoven, forwards and backwards. You're up to the fifth paragraph, you've got to show you can go back to the first, and you're still on the fifth. Going forwards, you can go backwards, and still you are advancing. You're going deeper. This is one explanation, what's meant by it. Show that a Torah is a continuity, continued and interwoven, a complex pattern that Ben Ezra weaves in depth. And one who has a deep enough mind can see the connection of these his words. Also, forwards and backwards means a person who goes forwards, means one who rises upwards, one who advances. He becomes greater in learning, greater in Torah, greater in tefillah, greater in Avedis Hashem, in serving Hashem. Backwards means one who tries, he's advancing, he feels good, and suddenly he falls. He commits kind of a wrong, or he becomes lax. He misses the Kavanah in Tefillah, or his Bedidus is shortened. He finds he's becoming distant from Hashem. He's not as close as before. He finds that his enthusiasm, his islavas, the fire, the spark is going out, Chas v'Shalom. Both of these type of people need enlightenment from the Ben Ezra's Torah. The one that can tell, speak, say the Ben Ezra's Torah forwards and backwards. Forwards means to reach those who are forward, those who are going way up. They're advancing very highly. They're davening and learning with fire. They're rising high. To reach them and tell them, wait, Ben Ezra says, don't become too boastful. Don't become filled with a conceit, with a pride, because there'll be a very terrible fall. Know that as high as you think you've gone, you're still very tiny, very small. You have a lot more to go. Strive for much more advancement than this. Do not be satisfied with where you are right now. I know that you are still nothing. That's the tachlis of Yediyah. Of knowledge is to realize that you know nothing. To those who have fallen, those who have gone backwards, Ben Ezra's Torah teaches, you think you've gone backwards, you think you're further away from Hashem, you are now closer to Hashem. Your Shechin is Daka. Hashem is much closer to those who are heartbroken, who are fallen, who are shattered. Those are the ones with these whose hearts are broken that Hashem is closest to. The words of the Ben Ezra are inspirational. They give new life, new hope. They tchias hamesim to those who seem to have died in the process of this battle against the Yitzhar. person who can teach the Ben Ezel's Torah, put the light on for those who have fallen, that person is able to learn the Ben Ezel's words. This is the second interpretation of this. Of course, there are many more, many deeper ones, but suffice it to say, meanwhile, at least we understand a little what the Ben Ezel said about learning the Torah forwards and backwards. Ben Ezel said that every word of the Torah, all of my Torah, he said, are hakdamas, are prefaces. Now, if you take a preface, it's very simple. This book, Lahavdil, deals with this and this story. Well, this Sefer deals with this type of commentary. You go into the Sefer itself, you got to struggle, you got to concentrate. Ben Ezel says, my words are all hakdamas. You go into the Sefer, now you find that it's not hakdamas, it's so deep and so difficult, like the end of the line rather than the beginning of the line. It seems like this is, you reach the climax, you reach the ultimate, and yet it is only a hakdama. How is that possible? One who understands, that person can realize this. As we can see, you take a paragraph of the Kutamadan, and you cover it, what you think is having covered it well, you know it well, and that's about it. You are now complete. Then, the Nosanzel takes the same paragraph, a Tehid in the Kutamadan, and he wrote a Sefer Likutei Halachos, 8 volumes of Likutei Halachos, on this Sefer Likutei Maran. And in these 8 volumes, every paragraph that Ben Ezel's written, that Ben Ezel has a big chapter on it. This is only the beginning. He shows, he opens a door, puts on a light to show that Ben Ezel referred to. These are all hints, a preface to a long topic in depth. And this, throughout the whole Kutmanan, you have Likut Halachas, which is much longer, and it shows that each sentence leads to a whole brand new topic. Third, the Ben Ezel said that a person, you go through the whole Torah, Torah Shniksav, Torah Shebaal Peh, on each chapter, this, there'd be many skeptics who would doubt this. How can you say that one chapter in the Kutamana, one page, contains all the 60 Gemaras? It contains all the Tanakh. It contains the 4 divisions of Shulchan Aruch. 4 divisions of Shulchan Aruch are so complex, they cover all of the Gemara, plus the Dinim of Miksav and Valpeh, but they're 4 solid divisions. How can you say one page of the Ben Ezel's? Persons are inclined to disbelieve this. Well, they find at least a trace of skepticism in their heart. Rabbi Kochel Leibzal's grandfather, Nachman Chigrin Zal, who wrote the Papados Lechokhmo, undertook to show, of course, he was a Goyin Olam. He was one of the greatest geniuses that ever lived, depth of mind, and very humble too, very modest. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Nosson Zal, and he decided to show, take an example. So he took the first chapter in the Kutmanan. It's only one daf. It's one of the shorter Torahs. Took the first chapter and said, I'll show you how these words are so, they're true. This first chapter, he proceeded to go on to the 4 Shulchan Aruchs. He wrote a whole sefer on the first chapter, Nachas HaShulchan, in which he shows that every chapter in Shulchan Aruch can be derived from this one chapter or paragraph of Rav Ben Ezel, the first one. That's all we need. We have proof that the first chapter is like that. You can do the same thing with every chapter that put one on, every Torah, and show how all of the Shulchan Aruch, or Gemara, or Kabbalah is found in that. This Rav Nachman Chigrin Zal proved. He proved this to the skeptics, not chas v'sholom, to those who have a munah of Ben Ezel's words. We don't need any proof. We know, we believe the munah shleim of Ben Ezel's greatness. Ben Ezel's greatness and the greatness of his Torahs are unmatched, unparalleled, and certainly Ben Ezel said they contained the whole Torah in it. Naturally, they contained it. There's no question about that. But for one who has any doubt, one who wants to see an example of it, even if he believes, we have it in Nachman Chigrin Zal's writings to show that there is the whole Torah included in the first chapter. In different places, he proceeds to show a little connection to other parts of the Torah. Benedict said to, speaking about the topic of saying Torah. Now there are a lot of Sforim, untold number of Sforim written by great tzaddikim in the past. All Sforim alike. And what is the difference between the Sefer written by one tzaddik and by another tzaddik, two different tzaddikim? Benedict said the difference is the same as the difference between one Navi and a second Navi. For example, one Navi, Meshe Rabbeinu, the leader, the Rebbe of all Naviim, saw, he could see, a prophet is called a seer, a chazer. He could see a vision. When a Navi sees a vision, generally, as the Gemara says, he is placed into a trance. He's not fully awake. He's in a semi-sleep, in a trance. In his mind, he sees this vision, a heavenly vision, different sights, as we find the words of the Nevi'im. The Navi says, I saw this sight, I saw this vision passing by. In every Navi you find that, Isi, and I saw. But this was a vision where the Navi was in a trance. He was not fully conscious. That's called a sight, like a mirror, that's cloudy, hazy. One Navi there was, who saw in a mirror, could see with clarity, with complete perception and complete consciousness. That was Meshe Rabbeinu. Hashem said, I speak to Meshe Rabbeinu as to a person, one person to the other. Kaviyocha. He's completely wide awake when I speak to him, and his vision is the clearest of all. The same thing holds true with the Torahs taught by these different tzaddikim. There is one whose Torah is hazy and cloudy. What is it based on generally? A chiddush is said, a topic is selected, there are chiddushim, new ideas presented, and they must have a basis on which to rest. The basis is, where the author refers to a certain pasuk in the Torah, he shows how his words are found in that pasuk, where you interpret that pasuk to fit his words. But sometimes this thought, this concept is seen in that pasuk remotely. There is a hint at this thought in that pasuk. The words resemble what he's saying. So he shows a remote resemblance to what he's saying, proving it from that pasuk. That's a case of a vision that is hazy, because Torah itself is like a vision, like a prophecy. However, the tzaddik emes, his words are like a vision that is clear. When he speaks, he gives a chiddush, he brings a pasuk to back it, back these words. You could see every word that he said is found clearly in the words of that pasuk. This is one who understands, who has a slight degree of understanding, alumnus, could see at times the amazing clarity of Abinazal's words when he brings proof from a statement that he makes in a pasuk in a Torah, a pasuk or a Maimon Chazal, the Gemara, and you see whatever he said is clearly shown in that pasuk. He said something new. You learned that pasuk yourself before. You never knew that this thought exists, and here he shows how clearly that pasuk tells you this thought he just brought out. This is the difference between one type of Torah and the next. Same difference there is one type of Nevuah and the other. And it also says too that in the dealing with the saying of Torah, at times, as is normal, many Shiurim, you hear Torah where we give the reference to proof from the Rosh HaTevis, a Sefer Tevis. You take a sentence, and the first letters of the words of that sentence form a certain word, or the last letters form a certain word. You find this many times, oftentimes in the Zayin Kodesh, Sefer Kabbalah, or even the Gemara you find at times, Rosh HaTevis and Sefer Tevis. This means that we bring out a point hidden in this sentence. It's hidden in the beginning or the end of the letters of the sentence. Now, the man says, when that is done, the reason is that the Teda that he said is so high that it cannot be brought out openly. It has to be brought out sort of hiddenly. It's hidden in that sentence, and it's through these Sinufei Aesias, combinations of letters, that we bring out this thought, this concept. Combinations of letters, or sometimes Gimatriois. You don't see it at all. It's just that numerically it's the same as the other item he's bringing up. And this is because it is a deep hidden remez, a deep hidden topic that is not yet ready to be completely revealed. So it's cloaked in the Tzinufei Aesis, combinations of letters. Now this is the general statement, but we can understand at least, this means then that where Rabbi Nizal employs the use of these Tzinufei Aesis, combinations of letters, it means that this topic, this statement, is deeper than the normal statement that he has. It's a deeper topic and a deeper statement. And therefore, the Nosnel says that there is a secret that Benazal once told. A person who passes away, with Niftar, Nostalik, he comes to Elam Habo, and there he's got to go through the problems, standing trial, the ordeal of the fright, the pacha, the fear, get through that process, the heavenly process, till he gets to Gan Eden, if he's Zecha. Of course, it would be wonderful if a person who on earth is Mikusha to Rabbi Nizal could come there and say, I want to go to Rabbi Nizal directly. I want to circumvent, to avoid all this process that others have to go through, get to Rabbi Nizal and I'm safe. Nosnazal said that a person could do that in a certain sense. Of course, he has to earn it, he has to merit it. But he could smooth away, oil the process by employing the use of Tzinufei Aesis. If he learns the Tzinufei Aesis, which Rabbi Nizal used in his Sefer, by saying those words, there is a power to it, a potency, that can lead that person to Rabbi Nizal in Elam Haba. Therefore, there is a special Sefer written, one of Rabbi Nizal's Talmidim, called the Sefer Tzinufei Aesis, where he lists all, or practically all of the Tzinufei Rabbi Nizal has in the Kutei Maran, other Sforim too, sayings of Rabbi Nizal, all the Tzinufei Aesis according to the Alephase. It's just a couple of pages. It has all these Tzinufei Aesis. It's in print, of course. We have it printed in the back of our Kitzel and Kutei Maran. It's important for a person to look at it, read it. We said it's only a few pages. Besides the fact that it's fascinating to see these combinations, to know how vital it is for a person to know them, learn some of them by heart, if possible. A person can learn them all by heart, how wonderful it is, but how beneficial this is here, in life here, knowing them, and how infinitely precious it is there. This, Abinadol said again, is a point where when using these Tzinufei Aesis, it shows that the Teda, the topic, is deeper than the normal, and therefore this must be employed. Abinadol said that one who is bucky in his Teda and in his sayings of Abinadol too, that person can find, in Abinazal's words, every topic that is spoken of in the world. Whether it's business, whether it's sports, whether it's weather, anything at all, a current topic. You walk out in the street, you go to business, and you get into a conversation. If you have learned Likutei Maran that day, you'll find the topic refers to something you've learned. Sometimes it's amazing if you watch carefully, you'll notice that. It's amazing how it's possible that the topic you're speaking of now, we just learned about that referral to it in the Kutei Maran. How is that possible? By nature, it seems impossible. Every day, what you learn, now you have in the, throughout your daily routine, you'll find that the topics that people speak about refer to what you've learned. This is a heavenly power. This alone can show a person the heavenly wisdom of the Benazal, that incorporates everything into his sefer. Not just that it covers the Teda Shemiksav, Teda Shemalpeh, but even current topics, politics or anything at all, you find referral to it in the Ben Azal's words. But of course, Ben Azal stresses this requires a Bekiyus, one who studies carefully, one who delves into the words, one who concentrates on the words, that person can find in the Ben Azal's Teda everything, words of Teda, and also Teda in the world, and also current topics too. Mazal tells that one day, Ben Azal's Talmidim entered into his room. Ben Azal took out a slip of paper. On it was written in his handwriting a Teda that he had not yet taught. He said to his Talmidim, there are a number of Tedas written on this piece of paper, and there are many heavenly worlds. We speak about the division of four levels of the worlds. Actually, just as we have many stars and planets in this universe, which is the Olam HaAsiya, this physical world, so too above in heaven, above in the spiritual world, there are many, many, many planets or worlds there. And these worlds require nourishment. You cannot feed these worlds earthly food. They require a special type of nourishment. Their life and nourishment comes from the words of Teda spoken by the Tzaddik Emes, either spoken or sometimes unspoken. So Ben Azal said that the Teda I wrote down on this slip of paper has a Teda of such a depth that this will nourish and feed innumerable worlds above, heavenly worlds. They will receive the nourishment from these words of Teda. How? Just by my taking these words that are now written on the slip of paper and setting fire to the paper as the smoke rises up, this bit of smoke will nourish all those heavenly worlds. And that's something, again, we cannot understand, of course. We can only just gasp and marvel at Ben Azal's greatness and holiness, that he has control over such items. His mastery of the heavenly worlds, the knowledge about these worlds, and the ability to be able to say, to conceive of such a depth of Teda where he writes these words down, and in the burning of the words, where they're not even revealed to the students or to the world, that alone can nourish the heavenly worlds. This is far above our own conception. But again, strengthens our emuna and Ben Azal's greatness, and it should give us a deep, gratifying feeling how fortunate we are. How fortunate we are to be zecher, to know of this Tzaddik Emes, and to have Emuna Shleima, to be close to the Tzaddik Emes, which of course we have to struggle to continue being. It is not that simple. There are a lot of opposing forces the Satan uses to tear away a person from the Tzaddik Emes from this type of Emuna. We have to strengthen ourselves very much to do battle against these opposing forces, not to allow ourselves to slip, to fall away, chas v'sholom, but to be strong throughout our lives. We should be zechut that this should continue on the rest of our lives, and, of course, then we're zechut to the eternal tie, connections, binding to the Ben Azal. Ben Azal also, too, that even if one does not hear, say in the time of Ben Azal's life, we of course today would envy those Talmidim who were zecher to come to the Ben Azal's shir. You picture those days, not too long ago, less than 200 years ago this took place, Ben Azal spoke, gave a shir, live, Talmidim sat around, listened to Ben Azal's words. Going back, we could picture this. Let's say we go back, there are some today, many here, for example, who were zecher to be in Eretz Yisrael and sit at the Bei Chaim Shir, Shlita. Bei Chaim, who is the greatest tzaddik today, who gives a shir in Ben Azal's teachings. How fortunate those people are. They can sit at the shir of such a great tzaddik. or those who were zech in the past generation to sit at Rabbi Kochel Leizal's shir, the depth of his shir, also in Rabbi Leizal's teachings, what a privilege that was, what a zechiyah, a zechus to hear, to see, and to hear Rabbi Kochel Leizal give a shir. Picture then going still further back, to one hearing a shir generation back from Nosozal. Nosozal giving a shir in the Kutei Halachos live. And then going back to picturing how fortunate those Talmidim were who sat at the Abinazal's table while he gave a shir. A live shir, original shir, the Kutei Maran, or Sichos. You picture that, what a wonderful feeling that was then, what it must have been like. We can only have that again after Mashiach comes, Tchias HaMesim, or in Gan Eden. We hope, of course, that Tchias HaMesim, Mashiach will come first, because we expect momentarily, definitely, Mashiach will come now. So that's the very next step of the coming of Mashiach, and then we will have a live Shia, Avinazal B'ez Hashem. But again, picture the Zechus, thrill of a person sitting at the Benazal Shir. Now there were times though the Shir was so packed that possibly a Benazal's voice could not project that far back to those sitting in the rear. As much as they wanted to, as much as they had a desire to learn, to hear, they could not catch the words. They felt badly about it. The question was, what did they accomplish by sitting there without catching the words? Abinadol spoke about this, and he said that even if a person attends a shir, and he does not hear the words of Torah spoken, he cannot catch those words, either because he cannot catch them, or because even if he hears them, he doesn't understand them, but he does not hear or understand the words that are being spoken. Words of the Tzaddik Emes are not clear to him, either audibly or mentally, he cannot grasp them. But the fact is that at least he hears the voice of the Tzaddik Emes without being able to make out the words that are spoken. Just hearing that voice alone is sufficient. That he has already accomplished immeasurably. The pasuk says, "Lishmaya bekol devarai," to hear the voice of Hashem, the voice of the words, not to hear the words, just the voice alone. One who is present in a house, when Abinazal spoke Torah, it is immeasurable. B'lis shir, Abinazal says, there's no way to appraise the value. Just to be present at that time, even if he could not make out the words, he failed to grasp the shir, just hearing it alone, that alone is priceless. And of course, everything Abinazal said was intended as a lesson for us. Not just for then, as we'll find later on. Abinazal said, my words are not for you alone. The Talmidim were alive then, but for Talmidim of later generations too, for all generations in the future. This lesson too refers to the future. This is something we've stressed many times. For example, I've seen the case of a Shia given by Rabbi Kochel Leizal. I mentioned a number of times that the last Shia I attended, it's impossible to describe the feeling, the thrill of sitting at a shir, Rabbi Kochel Leizal's depth in speaking, in Dveikus, where he spoke with such a slavus, there was a burning fire in his eyes. You can see that he spoke with his soul, nafshi yotze medabre. It was the neshama that was speaking. And when he went into depth, it was very difficult to follow. So generally, you would hear words, couldn't make out what the words were. That is, you couldn't make out the association. It became too deep to grasp. Yet, of course, there was a desire to listen, just to watch, to listen, to hear the voice, the sound. And the question was, of course, it was heartbreaking. You tried so hard to listen to the shir, to gain the shir, the knowledge of the shir. You walked away without gaining much. And volume. Here the Benazal says, don't worry about that. Because even if you did not understand, if you do not hear the words, you're too far away to hear it, it is still toiv me. Now there's a word toiv that's good. Toiv ma'id is very good. Ben Azal uses the words toiv ma'id ma'id, very, very good, and then adds b'li shir, immeasurably, infinitely. This is an important consolation. Because let us say today, we've had cases of those who were a little in doubt. They felt badly. Today, you want to go to the shir of so great a tzaddik, Rabbi Yochanan, who gives the shir, and let us say that you cannot grasp the words because you don't understand the language. He speaks in Yiddish. You sit there, the shir takes an hour. And it's frustrating, you feel badly, others understand it. You spend a full hour with the full, firm desire of learning the words of the tzaddikims. Learning the words that Ben Azal spoke as related by the present-day tzaddik. And yet, there's no way because you don't understand Yiddish. You don't understand the language that's being spoken. Here again, the Ben Azal's words apply. If you're present at that shir, as far as you're concerned, all you hear is a voice. You cannot make out the words because you don't understand the language. You've got the voice, l'shmaya b'kol devaray. If you hear that voice, it is not just good, it is not just very good. It's toiv me'id me'id b'li shir. This applies throughout, because what you are hearing is the words that the Ben Azal spoke, given to us by Ben Azal's Talmidim, Talmidei Talmidim. So if ever we hear a shir that is not too comprehensible, we feel perhaps that we're not fit to hear that shir, or we're behind in understanding, never feel depressed about this. On the contrary, feel very happy that about you, about us, we have a special paragraph saying by the Ben Azal. Do not fret over it. Do not feel badly, because it is toiv me'id me'id b'li shir. This is the lesson that Ben Azal taught then. And of course, too, Ben Azal referred to the fact that the origin of this statement is found in the very beginning, when the Jews were zeche to hear the voice of Hashem at Har Sinai. So again, there we find the Torah says that Zulosi Koil, the Jews heard. What did they hear? A voice. They could not make out the words. They were not fit. They were not on that level. Moshe Rabbeinu could receive the words of Hashem. Many different interpretations for it. The Sifrei Kabbalah say that what was given were the Chof Beis Asma Deraisa, the 22 letters of the Torah, in a complex, jumbled form, just letters upon letters. To resolve that puzzle, to take those letters and shape them into the actual words, that was an impossibility for the normal person. Moshe Rabbeinu had that power of being able to alter these letters, to reshape them into the actual words that Hashem spoke. So the Torah says, Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Jews, that you were there at Har Sinai, you heard a koil, you heard a sound, you heard a voice. Not words, but a voice. And how fortunate you were to be able to hear the voice of Hashem. That's enough. A schus like that, that's immeasurable. This is the origin. From this stems the lesson that in all future generations, it is still the words of Hashem. Tzadik Emes's Torah speaks the words of Hashem, elaborates on it, and this voice that a person hears, is, if he is zecher to be present, he is zecher to be able to receive this voice, ultimately, the Ben Azal adds elsewhere, ultimately, even the words become clear. As long as you hear the voice, not understand the words, be assured that your neshama does absorb these words. Eventually, in Gan Eden, for example, you'll have all this clearly explained, clearly understood by the neshama. Eventually, too, a person who strives hard enough in life will advance to a point where they'll understand much deeper that which was difficult to understand previously, that which he had to rely purely on emunah alone. he hears a voice, doesn't understand a word, but he has faith that this is the voice of a tzaddik. It's only emunah. Emunah is the lowest level of the sfidus, the malchus. The person who has that emunah b'shleimus eventually is zecher to go from that emunah up to the highest rung, a chachma, where he has complete wisdom and understanding of these words. We should be zecher to receive, to accept the emunah shleimah, the words of the tzaddik emes, to be truly mekusher, attached to Rabbeinu Zal's words, to learn his Torah, and to merit being attached to Rabbeinu Zal, l'netzach, l'netzach, netzachim, that zchus we should see the bias Moshiach Tikeinu, the binyan beis hamikdash and heda, the mapola of all the Sinai Yisrael throughout the world, throughout the deities, the Yeshua, Kol Yisrael, heda, amen, v'yamein.